I want to read tonight three passages from the Bible. Firstly, I want to read in Isaiah 53. And I'm going to start from verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of Jehovah been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender sapling, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor lordliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and left alone of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their faces, despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we did regard him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, and Jehovah has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The next passage in Luke 15, starting from verse 1. And all the tax gatherers and the sinners were coming near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And he spoke to them this parable, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, and having lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? Having found it, he lays it upon his own shoulders, rejoicing. And being come to the house, he calls together the friends and the neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. I say unto you, that thus there shall be joy in heaven for one repenting sinners, more than for 99 righteous who have no need of repentance. And finally, I would like to read in Ezekiel 34, and I'll start from verse 11. For thus saith the Lord Jehovah, behold, I, even I, will both search for my sheep and tend them. As a shepherd tendeth his flock in the day that he is among his scattered sheep, so will I tend my sheep, and will deliver them out of all the places whither they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And then to verse 16, I will seek the lost. I expect it could be seen that in these three passages of the Bible that I have read, the word sheep is there very clearly. And it's about sheep I want to say a few words. Sheep in the Bible speaks to us of persons. And let us remember that we need to hearken to the voice of the shepherd while there's still opportunity. Time is going to come when the voice of my shepherd, the man in the glory, my Saviour will cease. In a period of grace, he will come at a later time, but he'll come in cloaks and clothes of judgment. But today, his hands are outstretched in blessing, and blessing for the guilty sinner as well as for the forgiven sinner. Which category are you in, dear friend? Are you in the friend of a guilty sinner? Are you in the category of a saved sinner? My Saviour is in glory. He suffered and entered into his glory. God has crowned him with glory and honour, dear listener. He has given him a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Oh, what a day it will be when you bow, if you haven't done already. Every knee, whether it's heavenly or earthly or infernal being, and they'll bow the knee to Jesus. Do it now, while there's still opportunity. Think of those 40,000 that have died because of the virus. Thank God, and we give him a note of thanksgiving, if some, if not all, were saved and out of the shelter of the precious blood of Jesus. But we can't say it as that everyone was. Dear hearer, dear listener, come to him today. Can't promise another day. And the Bible tells me today. Today is the day of salvation. It doesn't speak about tomorrow. So reach out in faith and touch the hem of his garment as a woman in Luke's gospel did. And she was healed. You can be healed today of all that weight of sin that lies upon you if you're guilty. May you come to him now. There's an opportunity. Where you are, whether you're listening abroad, internationally, or whether you're sitting at home, come to him today. There's still time. And for those of us who know the Saviour, who know the one who came in and suffered at Calvary's cross, let us give him a little more of our affections in these closing days. He's worthy. And where we started to read, it says, behold, behold, behold my servant. Let us look away from this world to that world of which your Saviour and my Saviour is the centre. He came in such a lowly way, in Bethlehem's manger, a borrowed manger, not his own. He who is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, is rightfully crowned by God in heaven, soon to be crowned on this earth. But meanwhile, let us own him for who he is, the Saviour of sinners. Come unto you and me, and open your heart, dear listener, to his affections, to his love, what he's accomplished, what he has done. Where we read in Isaiah 53, think of what Herod says and speaks of him. He said, God says, behold my servant whom I uphold. Think of the arm of Jehovah being revealed. Where was it revealed? It was revealed in Jesus. It was revealed at the cross. When Jesus was there, the arm of Jehovah made known. If you want to know what holiness is, see it in Jesus. In him, sin was not. You and I, born in sin. Oh yes. But in Isaiah it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone. That's without exception. It's confirmed when Paul writes to those in Romans in chapter 3. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All men. Here it says, All weep like sheep. All, everyone, there's no exception. Whoever you are, wherever you may be, there's no exception to this Bible word, all. It's only a small word, three letters. The young ones can spell it. A-L-L. All men have sinned. Here it says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That is your own pathway away from God. But it goes on to say, and Jehovah hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. But you go to the previous few verses. But before I do that, I want to explain a little, maybe, what iniquity is. It's an offense to God. Now, God's eyes are too holy to behold evil. If sin rests upon you, dear listener, then you cannot enter the presence of God. There's only one way, and the old hymn puts it, the way of the cross leads home. There's no other way but this. And dear listener, that pathway is open to you. Reach out, as I said earlier, reach out and touch that hem of his garment, and by faith you can be healed from the sins that lie upon you. But let us look for a moment of what the Saviour himself suffered, went through. It says here in chapter 53 of Isaiah, he was wounded for our transgressions. Think of the cross. Did he go there for himself? No. The Bible tells me in him sin was not. Who, at another place it says, who did no sin. So it says here, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Think for a moment what my Saviour went through. I love him for it, because he went that way for me. He shed his precious blood for me. Think of the preciousness of the blood of Jesus. The hymn writer puts it, precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed at Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners. And she adds, shed for me. Can you say that? Thank God, through grace, I can say that he shed his precious blood for me. And dear listener, may you know and come to the Saviour to appreciate that tonight. He says here, he was wounded. Think of the wounds, not only the wounds that he had physically, but think of the wounds that came upon him. The wounds of hatred, all that had fell upon him. He was despised and left alone. Men didn't consider him. Those to whom he came despised him. But dear listener, tonight you can come and come to his feet. You know, there's only the God the Father, he will draw you gently to the feet of Jesus. It's that soft, gentle voice that draws the guilty sinner to Jesus. What a way. It isn't hard pathway. And as the writer said in his poem, what? You have nothing to pay. Nothing to pay. No, not one whit. Nothing to do. No, not a bit. All that was needed to do or to pray, Jesus has done in his own blessed way. That's what I've been saying. Jesus went that way, alone. No one was with him, dear listener. He went alone to Calvary's cross. All those whom he was with him fled. One gospel writer tells us that there were those who stood by the cross of Jesus. What a place to be. There was the Saviour they loved, crucified, hanging on a cross. But what were his words in Luke's Gospel? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Think of that language of grace, that prayer, the last prayer that Jesus uttered when here. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And in John's Gospel, when he completed the work, he could say, it is finished. Everything complete. He could say to his Father, I have completed the work that thou gavest me that I should do it. Everything done to God's satisfaction, so that God, a holy God, can come out in love and grace towards a guilty sinner. Marvelous fact. You and I are guilty. Thank God that I've looked away from myself and looked at the man in the glory. I spoke to him this morning. The hymn writer puts it, or the poet puts it, the man in the glory I've spoken to him today. I have you. The one who is at the pinnacle of glory, there, placed there by God himself. Wonderful fact. That little poem I started, it's got 12 verses, and it says in one of them, nothing to pay. Dear listener, you've got nothing to pay. You've got nothing to do in that sense. In the book of Job, it tells us, I have found a ransom. God has found a ransom for your guilt, found it in Jesus. No, thanks be to God. The matter is settled. My matter of my sins is settled. Put upon the head of Jesus. How precious he is to my heart. How precious he is to my soul. Is he to yours? And then it goes on to say, the price was the blood. The blood of the victim. A ransom divine. Believe it, poor sinner. And peace will be thine. Dear listener, are you at rest? Are you at peace? Are you very anxious? There's a lot of anxious people today. Why? Because maybe they are uncertain as to what is going to happen in a day to come. You know, there's one thing assured. There's an appointment that you and I will never miss. As the Bible says, and I think it was said last week, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, judgment. Tell a little story. There's a man, very wealthy, but he was what we would term in today's language a workaholic. He worked possibly 7 days a week. A Christian came to visit him and was speaking and asked him whether he'd made any matter secured in view of his salvation, because, quoting that scripture to him, is appointed. His answer, I'm too busy to die. I'm too busy to die. God heard that. Let me tell you now, God listens to every word you say, every thought you have. Read Psalm 139 and you'll find it so. Next morning, that gentleman came downstairs and collapsed on the kitchen floor. Gone. I'm too busy to die. Dear listener, as I said at the beginning, the Bible tells me it's today. Not tomorrow. Today. Today is a day of salvation. Make use of it. It's a day of grace. It's a day of God's mercy. And mercy's doors are wide open. As the hymn writer puts it in one of the hymns, God's house is filling fast, yet there is room. Some guest will be the last. Is it going to be you? Yet there is room. There's still room tonight. There's still room now. There's room for you if you haven't entered in. Yes, soon salvation's day to you may pass away. Then grace no more will say, yet there's room. Take a warning, dear listener. The preaching may go another Lord's Day. I don't know, but for you it may not. A professor was talking to one of his students, and he had finished his course and was quite a remarkable student. And the professor was saying well done to him. And then he asked the student as to his Christian pathway. The student replied, I think I'll take that up. I'll do my work first. I'll take that up when I get older. Before possibly I die. Professor replied, do you know when you're going to die? Do you? Nobody knows the day of one's death. The Bible tells me that somebody has got the keys of death. And that's my Savior. Jesus has got the keys of death. He has them and holds them and uses them when he will. Some of us have lost loved ones. He used them at his own discretion. Oh, may we come to Jesus and accept him as the one who is without comparison, without peer. And we were still looking at Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Can you put your name in there? I can. I can say that he was wounded for Andrew's iniquities. I can say that, can you? The load of my sin, and that many, laid upon him, upon the head of Jesus. He gave his life, he shed his precious blood for me. Can you say that? Can you? Think of that soldier piercing his side. Forthwith, it said, came in blood and water. The act of greatest hatred showed the greatest experience of divine grace shone out at that time when Jesus shed his precious blood. For without the shedding of blood, the Bible tells me, there's no remission. But can you put your name in these few verses? I can. What about you? What about you? We have gone astray. I've gone in my own way. I will quite clearly say, everyone in this world has gone in their own way. We've departed from the way that God set out at the beginning of the scripture, which was written in the Bible. It was a way that should have been marked by obedience, and what did Adam do? He disobeyed. You and I have been disobedient. And what did disobedience result in? It resulted in murder. See it when Cain killed his brother. That is the result. And who put the act of disobedience in,
into your heart, into my heart.
Satan himself lifted himself up to be in equality with God. Oh, what a scene it is in which we live. And the prince of this world, and Jesus could say, when they came to take him, the prince of this world cometh, and in me he has nothing. I can't say that. He could, because of who he was. Blessed Son of God. And so, there's another lovely quote which I picked up by another, from another brother, another gospel preacher, and it's seen in the Lamentations of a Sinner. Maybe some have got this book, and she says, I sought and walked so long in many crooked paths that I had totally lost my sight of Jesus, of him. Is that you? He sought you. He's spoken to you. Job tells us once, twice, two or three times. But then Job tells us in that, I have found a ransom. And Job tells us earlier, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Do you? I do. Oh, praise his name. She later said these few words. Christ was upon the cross, delivered all who trust him from such a sharp, miserable captivity. He had, in the battle of the cross, many stripes, lost his life. His victory was so much greater. So where do you stand in relation to such words as I've quoted there? Those words were written by Queen Catherine Parr in the Lamentations of a Sinner. You may not have heard them before. 400 years ago, she wrote those. And the Lord took her to him himself at the age of 36. She was the last wife of Henry VIII, but she was a lady distinct into divine calendar, and not only that, she's at home with her Saviour. So in Luke 15, I'll just say a few words. Luke 15, we've got someone who was lost and found. Beautiful. Great thing to know and be happy at home with Jesus. And to what he says here, joy in heaven. Have you caused joy in heaven? Joy in heaven over a repenting sinner? Is that you? I can say, thank God, it is my experience to be a repentant. Ting sinner, not repentant, repenting. It says in Romans, it's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. Cry out to him, guilty sinner, for his goodness, and let him bring you by faith to the feet of Jesus and to appreciate what he has secured at the cross, shedding his precious blood and making peace. So we've got here those who are listening to it, and then you've got some people criticizing. It's like today. These people who criticized were religious people. People who felt there's no need for the gospel. Maybe. Because the Lord says of them at the end, they were righteous. 99. No need of repentance. Let me tell you, everyone in this world today has a need of coming to Christ, coming to God in repentance. So you've got this one sheep. We've had sheep just in a field by us. And what is so remarkable is that those sheep, when the shepherd or the owner came and he called, they went. If somebody else like me went, they don't know my voice. They wouldn't go. It was a lesson book again to me, because I've seen it before. A sheep, a true sheep, a person linked with the Saviour, hears the voice of Jesus and goes. Have you? When I was a young boy, a few years younger than I am now, about 70 years younger, my mother used to make me sing a hymn to visitors, and it went like this: listen to the voice of Jesus, oh so sweet. And again, I used to have to sing, knocking, knocking, who is there? Is Jesus knocking at your heart's door? Behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. Where's the door handle? Not only outside, it's on the inside, dear listener. You have to open it, that door. May you do so tonight and let him in. Because that's what he desires to do. He's taken the guilt of your sins upon him. Self at Calvary's cross. Think of that pathway he rendered, went. I was referring the other night to those words, and I've referred to it already. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And one of the malefactors who was hanging by him came to know and appreciate what the love of Jesus was. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today, not tomorrow, today. That's the words of scripture. Words of God, that's the word of God's word, today. As I said right at the beginning, today is the day of salvation. I cannot promise you tomorrow. So look at this scene in Luke 15. One sheep was lost. One sheep. And he went out to find it. The shepherd went out to find it. In this passage, the meaning is simple. You're lost. And that's what Jesus came for. To seek and to save that, not maybe lost, but that which is lost. Is it you? Is it you? And the shepherd went out to find this lost sheep. There's a little story, well known, as to a shepherd boy going out on a cold winter's night with a sharp east wind and the snow blowing to search for a lost sheep. His father's lost sheep. Found it, brought it home. But he gave his life for that one work for his Father. Jesus has given his life for you. Why not come to him? Why not know what it is to say, as the hymn writer says, Lord, I come. Think of what it's written in the hymn book, Hornby. There's another hymn which I particularly love, written by Lord Cecil, second son of Lord Cecil in the 1800s. He was the second son. Sinner, he says, sinner, see thy God beside thee, in a servant's form come near, sitting, walking, talking with thee. Sinai's mount, no longer fear. Hearken to the wondrous story. Jesus died and rose for thee. God in heaven awaits to greet thee. He's waiting to greet thee, dear listener, and to save thee, and believing thou art free. You won't get there on your own two feet. You have to come to Jesus. You have to come as under his wing. And so we get here, don't we? He found it. He laid it on his own shoulders. When I was a young man, I preached from this passage. And a sister said to me afterwards, "Andrew, please don't. That is his own shoulders. This man, Jesus, will carry the government upon his shoulder. One. But he takes a fan sheet home on his shoulders." He will do that for you if you haven't gone already. I just wanted to say a few words as to Ezekiel. Because there we get a sheep being tended to, looked after. And God in his grace and in his mercy cares for you. He just doesn't take you to with himself and walk the sea without him. Oh no. He fills that little vacuum, giving you the gift of the Holy Spirit, whereby you can know what it is to look away from yourself and look onto Jesus. So he says here, I will both search for my sheep. That's what he's done, and that's what he's doing today. And also, he tends them. I've been in the farming world and around it in my younger days, and I've seen how much attention the sheep in those days needed. And here God is saying, out of love for you, he'll look after you. You may have been lost, as he said, as I read here, "I will seek the lost." And that's what we've been reading out of Luke 15. He comes to seek and to save that which is lost. I ask that you may know what it is to come to the Savior. Don't leave it, because I can't give you a time. All I know is that I, as trusted in Jesus, am safe for today, and for however long he may leave me here, and for eternity. May you feel the same, for God's name's sake.